Hello, everyone. Let's get started for the day. Let me get all mic'd up and make sure you guys can hear me okay and see me okay. Hang on, just getting everything settled. Well, that's not going to work. Well, I'm going to have to pin it to the front. It's going to look crazy. All right, let's do some announcements and get started. First, today's open coaching. So we are going to do all, you can hear me. Thank you, Carlene. I'm kind of cruising in on two wheels. So if y'all wonder if I seem a little frantic, I am just a little frantic. We just had to redo all my lights in here. I just got ready. It's been quite the busy morning here at the house. It's not a typical day. Can you guys see me okay? Because it looks really dark on me. Hey, Chris, I look extremely dark for some reason. So Chris is going to be fixing lighting. So if you see everything kind of looking weird and all that kind of stuff, hang on, he's got to do something. So let me tell you a couple of announcements before we get started. Can you make sure that I have the right mic setting on? Go to the microphone. I'm sorry, everyone. Here, let me just, no, you don't. I just want to see it. All right, now we're good. So I can talk. Okay. So we're going to do open coaching. I'm going to be calling on you guys in a couple minutes, for right now. Let me tell you exciting things. Accountability Month is just now starting. So you guys can do all things accountability. The way I structured that program was for you guys to learn the number one skill when it comes to showing up for yourself. And that is going to be a month dedicated to learning and uncovering the conversation that you have with yourself. Because it does not matter if you have group accountability. If you can't start talking decent to yourself, you won't show up for them either. The whole thing when it comes to accountability is all about redefining the conversation that you have with yourself on the inside. It sets the tone. So this month, what I've wanted to do was not only give you the information that you needed, like in the workbook and in the video, I talk all about that conversation that you have. Then we talk about, like, how do you find a group? How do you show up in a group? How do you run a group? What is a template for a group? All those kinds of things. Then throughout the month, what we're doing is we're doing a 31-day planner challenge. So what that means is that for all of you who want, in the Facebook groups, we're going to have a post that's going to be, it's going to stay there all month long, and it's going to be called hashtag 31 days plan. What is it, Kathy? I'm not even sure. It's got a weird, like, name. It's like, somebody tell me what the name of it is. So anyway, you're going to find this post. You'll have a beautiful graphic, all the things. It'll be pinned in the announcements. 31 days of plans. Yeah. Okay. So what you want to do is you want to go to the announcements. Then every single day you reply to that post. So like today is 1 of 31. You'll do 1/31. That means I did it today. If you are on, let's say, day 15 and you missed a couple of days, you would write 13/31, which you would know that you had only missed 2 days. So you want to reply back to that thread every day. Now, you do not need to use the thread. You do not need to use it in the subgroups or anything like that. We're going to have that post in the main tribe. And then for all of you who only live in your subgroups, you never visit the main tribe, we're also going to run a post over there so that every subgroup can do it too. But for a lot of you, it's just fun to have a place to be able to reply to. So that's why we're giving it to you in Facebook. But if you don't like Facebook, guess what you do? You do your planner every day, and that's all you have to do. And if you have questions or you need coaching, you go to Ask Coaches or you come to a call. If you are like, I am all about me having a post where I can reply and get to know all the other people who are working on planning, then you'll use the posts and have all kinds of fun. Now, the neat thing about this is that at the end of 31 days, we're going to send out a little survey where you guys can say like, hey, 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 I made it to the end of 31 days. Out of 31 days, I planned 14 days. Or out of 31 days, I planned 23 days. Or out of 31 days, I planned every single day. Doesn't matter how many days. It matters, do you know how many days did you plan? So the purpose of this month is to be able to like allow you to go to that form. You're going to be able to submit what you learned, and then you're going to get a prize from me. So everybody who makes it through the month, When they submit how many days they actually planned and what they learned, they'll get a special prize. So fun games, fun games, fun games. So nice way for you guys to be able to have something to do in order to get a prize, but also it's like it's motivational to know that there's a prize at the end. It's motivational to do it with your friends and your partners and stuff. But the biggest part is not so much are you using the Facebook post, because it doesn't matter if you're in the Facebook group or not. All that matters is that you're going to learn about yourself throughout the month. What I really want you guys getting out of this challenge is not so much 31 days of plans. It's all about, on the days I don't plan, I now know why. Because this time I'm listening for it. Throughout the month, I noticed there were days I overate or I didn't want to plan and I beat myself up. And rather than doing like I normally do, which is quit or use that as a reason to stop, I now know that I'm working on the relationship with myself. And the best way for me to learn how to talk better to myself is to do things that I normally beat myself up over, change the conversation that I'm having, keep going, trigger again, like a mistake, trigger again my mess ups, and stop beating myself up so that I can get to the part where somebody messes up and makes mistakes and they learn. We have to learn how to overcome the self-judgment. The best way to learn how to overcome your self-judgment is to set yourself up to judge yourself like a son of a bitch and then tell a new story and then act from the new story and keep doing it over and over again until your brain makes the connection like, oh, every time she makes a mistake and beats herself up, she tells herself this and then acts. Maybe I should just start thinking that first. That's how the relationship with yourself changes. That's why this month we wanted to give you a challenge that supports the content that I'm giving you, the content in the self-accountability course. So that's all the things that you guys need to know about it. If you have any questions, you can ask them in the Q&A. Somebody said, what if we don't have Facebook? Doesn't matter if you have Facebook. You have a planner. Need to be using the planner. Now, if you're a digital diva, you'll use your digital diva stuff. If you use a whole different planner system than what I give you guys, that's fine too. But here's the thing. What I really want you guys doing is every single day planning for your best self. Planning from compassion. And that will only happen, like for all of you who even plan for, let's say you plan every day and you make like, well, I should be eating this. This is the only stuff that's going to make me lose weight. Then we want you doing that until you learn that making plans like an asshole doesn't work anymore. And so you're going to have to suffer the discomfort of making a realistic plan. I mean, like, shit, I keep noticing that every day when I plan, I almost feel worse after I get done. Because if I feel bad after I make my plan or scared or worried or anxious, I'm probably planning wrong. I'm probably planning trying to do it from a place of douchetastic thoughts. So rather than giving up on plans or thinking that I just can't get my shit together, I'm probably going to have to quit being punitive with my planning and learn how to plan from fear of it not being good enough. I would much rather you guys move into the next level up, which is I'm so scared this won't work, but I'm doing it anyway, versus look, bitch, this is what you're going to eat because you're so overweight. This is the only thing that's ever going to like get you thin. We got to go from that to the next level until whatever the next level is going to be. So that's what all this is this month. All right. Questions. And then we're going to coach. Do you have a suggestion for those of us who already plan consistently every day? Keep going. Don't stop. Celebrate yourself every day. Just be like, oh my God, will you look at myself? I'm a planner. That's like me. I plan every single day. My prize would be super easy. I just be like, all right, I'm going to collect my winnings. So is there a new workbook and videos in the accountability program? Sure is. It's all updated. Came out in your massive action line a few minutes ago, and we started talking about it last week, and it was on the Tribe News Show. So if you go on over to pnptribe.com, guys, you go to the Mastering Accountability course, brand new workbook, brand new videos, everything is redone from the ground up. Should we listen to accountability course if we are still doing no BS? Only if you want to learn how to change the conversation with yourself. If you really are struggling with accountability to yourself, I would listen to it. It is a 45-minute video. I don't know anybody, like, let me just put it this way. If you ain't got 45 minutes to figure out how to talk better to yourself, we got bigger problems in this tribe. So I just do it and then jump right back into the no BS. It's that simple. Now, if you're going to sit there and you're taking no BS and you're going to go to, oh my God, that's like a whole nother thing and blah, 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 blah. Focus on your no BS. The self-accountability program's not going anywhere. It stays in your bonus courses for as long until the next time I update it. So it's going to be available to you and as part of your membership. But one of the things that I would do, guys, is quit thinking that content that I give you can overwhelm you or can be too much. It's like, just say like, you know what? I've decided this is what I'm going to have. This is the stuff I'm going to listen to. But if you're listening to me right now and your inner self-talk is a bunch of crap, I would make time to listen to it. There shouldn't be anything in your life more important. There should not be a TV show, a podcast, or a novel that is more important than listening to something that's going to help you figure out how to talk differently to yourself. That's what the accountability program is all about this time. Okay, let's get it going. Marvette, you're up first. Let me ask to start your video. Here we go.
Okay. Hey. Hello.
How are you?
Oh, packing.
Packing? Are you going somewhere good?
I'm coming to Nashville, actually.
Are you coming to the 3-day?
No, I have a conference for work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wish I was coming to the 3-day, though.
Yeah. So what are you going to coaching on?
I'm resting. Like, okay. I know that I feel the best. I have see results on the scale when I have more rest throughout my week. Uh-huh. I can get caught up in doing a lot of work. I have a 9-to-5 and I also have a business. And I implement saying, well, you need to cut off at 9 o'clock every night and you need to take off on Saturday. And so I've been doing that, but what I still find myself doing is constantly thinking about work or thinking about business. And so while I may not be doing anything, I don't feel like I'm resting because of the anxiety and all the other things.
Yeah. So I 100% understand what you're saying. If you can imagine what this brain sounds like when it's trying to take a break, it's always thinking about like all the things we could be doing or should be doing. I love how my brain loves to go to, you should be doing this. Mm-hmm. So when you're having your scheduled rest and you know it's important to you, what is the stuff that your brain tells you?
Well, yeah, I'm sure you need to rest, but we need to make money. We need money. Or we have all these things that need to get done. And sometimes you just can't rest or sleep. Sometimes you just got to do it. And so I question if I'm just being lazy. That's a loop. If you're just being lazy, you could push a little bit more. You can keep going.
Let me ask you this. When you schedule your rest, do you think that's coming from a place of like laziness? Like just being... Like when we're looking at it today versus like when you're in the moment and your brain is throwing up its usual stuff. So when you schedule it ahead of time, do you think it's from laziness or do you think it's like, no, like I legit need to learn how to be somebody who can take a break?
I legit need to be someone who needs to learn how to take a break.
Yeah. So I think one of the important things for you to realize is in those moments, especially if your brain wants to go to saying you're lazy, or like something's wrong with you for doing it, you need to tell yourself, that's not true. I planned for this. This is the time that I'm supposed to be sitting here, resting, and allowing my brain to go crazy. Mm-hmm. I know this sounds insane for some of you, but there are some of us who have a very hard time taking a break. We have a lot of judgment over our rest. So let me show you how it looks in the model, okay? Okay. Rest is actually going to come down here on the action line. So like it's the action of resting, taking your break. And then you feel, what do you feel when you're doing it? Because it's not restful.
I feel anxious, like.
Yeah.
Vibrating.
Yeah. And it's coming from thoughts like, you should be making money. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really going to be, honestly, a collection of you should be thoughts. And I'm just going to put that up here. Because if we were to break it down, we could probably grab a collection of you should be thoughts, right? Okay.
Yes.
So I'm going to erase this because I'm going to put it up here for now because what we're doing is we're actually grabbing. We'll show everybody what I just did. Rest up here in the circumstance line. This is it Marvette?
Yes.
Okay. My little question and answer thing covered up your name. This is the thoughts that she's having about taking her break when she's on it. She feels anxious. Then her action line becomes like swirly thoughts. So you start basically cycling more and more thoughts that work you up, right?
Right.
And then she has a like basically the swirly thoughts prove you shouldn't be resting. But you're just collecting evidence against it. That's why it feels so rough. And that's why it feels so true is just because what we do a lot of times is when we have judgments about something that we don't clean up, if we allow this model to keep running, you keep just believing that it's like now you're saying, well, you know, maybe I'm lazy. Maybe I should just be working. Maybe I, you know, like I don't really need to take time off. You start convincing yourself. You start giving yourself a really good argument for it. So the solve is to realize you're supposed to be fucking anxious during that time at first. You don't know how to rest yet. It's just like going to be riding a bike. You're going to be wobbly. You're going to fall off. You're going to be scared as fuck. All the things are going to be happening until you get to the point to where you take some time off and you still make money. And you take some time off and you lose some weight. And you take some time off and you start collecting evidence that the world's not going to end because you're doing it. So you have to be in the moment of going from wishing all of this part away to listening to all of this as if it's normal. Right now, you're hearing all of it and fighting with it, saying, well, I just like, I know it's good for me, but I, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like you can tell it's like, how do you get all this to just go away?
That's what I want.
This is the same for urges. So for all of you who are watching this, you can put rest. You can also put urges right here. It's the same process. It's like, tell me how to make that go away. And there's only one way to make it go away. You have to let it play out in your head and then just redirect it without wishing it away. None of these thoughts are bad. The worst that they're doing is racing and creating a little anxiety. But your problem is you're letting all the thoughts keep going rather than being like, but we planned for this. But we know this is good for us. But eventually this will go away. But I'm just learning how to relax now. Like you have to add just that little extra brain conditioning. It is a subtle shift. Right now you're having thoughts and believing them. What I want you to do is have thoughts and redirect them. So you're going to be the adult in the room now. So I want you to think about swirly doo-doo thoughts. It's like your kid who's 5 years old trying to ride a bike and saying, no, 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 you can't let go. No, I don't want to do it. I'm going to fall and die. And you're a terrible parent for ever letting me try to ride a bike. And you're going to be the parent who says, I got you. I'm going to hold the bike. you're going to learn how to do this. It'll be okay. I'll hold the bike as long as it takes. That's you going, but we do this anyway. That's going to be you being the parent of your own brain at that point. Tell me your thoughts.
Intellectually, yes.
Yes.
And then my brain went directly to, well, Corinne, when it's 3 a.m. in the morning and all I want to do is just go to sleep and that just keeps happening.
Guess what? Tell me what you're going to do in that moment.
Again, my logical brain says to get up and probably do a TDL. And
No. That's the toddler brain coming out to play. It's like,
okay,
I'll sneak in and get some work done. We'll work on our brain. Like, we're supposed to be asleep. We wake up at 3 a.m. Let me ask you this. If a toddler wakes up at 3 a.m. and they come into your room, and they want to play, do you send them back to bed? Or do you say, well, let's go over here and have a conversation and a discussion about why you want to be awake?
No, you take them back to bed.
So what is Marvette now going to, we're going to wake up at 3 a.m. We're going to think we should be working. We have amazing ideas at 3 a.m. Do you know all the crazy that goes on with me at 3 a.m.? And you're going to do what?
Redirect.
Yeah. You know what you're going to do? You're going to do like I do probably like 3 times a week at 2. Mine's 2:30.
Okay.
It's not 3. Mine's always at 2:30. And just like, it's time to be bored. I know you want, like, every time I start thinking up ideas, like I will wake up and then like have solved the world's problems. And I'll be like, no, we solve in the mornings. We don't solve right now. And then when I notice myself trying to think about you guys, I'm like, nope. And I will think about a flower or my cat or something like so like terribly boring. I redirect to boring. And sometimes I'm up for an hour, maybe even more. But I used to do that every night. I'm down to like 2 to 3 times a week. And it used to be for 2 to 3 hours. And I'm down to, I can do about 45 minutes now. Just redirect. And I make myself literally lay there. I don't do TDLs. I don't go write down tons of ideas. I don't allow my brain to get entertained by it. And I don't allow myself to get worked up by it either. Takes a while, though.
It does, because I keep just like, can we just skip this part? I could just go to sleep and things will be better.
If we could skip that part, we'd already be doing that.
Yes.
Eventually, it doesn't take as long as you think. Eventually, what happens is that you start understanding how to redirect your brain faster and faster and faster. Like, you'll wake up. You'll have 1,000 thoughts. You'll get like 30 minutes into it and you'll be wishing it away. And then you'll be like, oh yeah, Corinne told me I wasn't supposed to be wishing shit away. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to think about making money right now. This is when we sleep. Oh, we're not going to think about what we're so scared of. This is when we sleep. Like it's boring. Most human beings can't do boring very well. That's the reason why we eat. That's the reason why we overwork. That's the reason why we don't rest, because we're not really good at just getting back to just burnt.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of the night, it's not when we're supposed to be entertaining. So we have to teach our brain how to go back to sleep. We have to teach our brain how to stop racing. You have to teach your brain the allowed behaviors. You've been allowing it to do it one way. It's not going to stop on a dime. It's like you taught it this. Now you got to unteach it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the best ways to get a brain to calm down in the middle of the night is to not go to bed jacked up. Learning how to rest during the day appropriately teaches a brain how to relax and rest at night. The more authority you gain over your thought patterns during the day about yourself and overworking and ginning yourself, like, just because you make yourself go to bed at 9 o'clock doesn't mean you're thinking differently about your life. It just means you're really good with slapping yourself in the bed.
Absolutely. Because that's what I was going to say, is that I am going. And then it's like a hard stop. And I think, oh, I should be able to just lay down and go to sleep.
No. You have to redefine the relationship with rest. Like, you're going to have to, like, talk about taking a break and stuff as if it's a vital part of how you make money, of how you succeed. It is more important than anything you do. You have to convince yourself of that. You have to start talking about it rather than rest. Like, never ever again say resting is hard. Mm-hmm. Start saying rest is freaking important. There's nothing better I could be working on right now. Like, a lot of you self-describe things like, well, it's just hard and it's just this. And it's like, what do you want to believe about rest that's going to allow you to rest? Start talking about it that way. Stop indulging in it being a shit show so that it could quit being a shit show automatically all the time.
Okay. That's helpful in terms of, like, not only thinking about redirecting in the middle of the night, but redirecting throughout the day. Because in the day, I'm like, well, this is free. I get to just work as much as I want to and push as hard as I want to, which, you know, thinking about it now, I will push off. I'll be like, I know I'm at my -2, but I can go a little bit longer. And the next thing I know, it's 4 or 5 hours later.
Yeah.
And I'm craving all the carbs because I didn't eat all day. So that is feeding into this whole resting as well. So
yeah, I would start with maybe writing about, like, the ideal version of you, like the version of you that is a peak performer, mm-hmm. who, like, loses her weight and is making the money and everything. What does her day look like, and what is her mindset? And whatever mm-hmm. that is, it's going to be very different from where you're at right now. There's the difference between, like, operating your day to day at, like, as a peak performer and operating every day as a hustler.
Mm-hmm.
A hustler is not a peak performer. A hustler is someone who's killing themselves to get it done. A peak performer is figuring out how to get it all done in the best way possible for them, because they're in it for the long haul. Hustlers have a very short-sighted, they're like, I just got to get it done. I just need to get this. They're always chasing mm-hmm. the next carrot. A peak performer sees the long game.
I really like that, because that's been in my head. Like, you just got to hustle your way. This is the beginning of the business. Just keep going. But yes, what is it going to look like in the long term?
Yeah. Whatever you build is the house in which you will live in when you get there. Build the right one. If I could teach all of you something, I've had to basically deconstruct that mentality over 2 years so that we can help as many women as we want to lose weight. For years, I was limited to helping 100 people, and I worked 80, 90 hours a week to work with those 100.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to unlearn that in order to be able to help more people. And that's the way I always thought about it, is like, oh, that's why I'm deconstructing all this, because I really want to help lots of people lose weight, not kill myself to just help these people. It felt very gratifying, and I was always busy.
Yeah.
But I was limited, and I limited how many people could. You wouldn't be here. You'd have to have been the original 100 back in 2016. So it's mm-hmm. like, be just thinking about who you want to be. And it's like, I do believe that you have to be scrappy, and you have to sometimes say no when you want to say yes and some stuff like that. But there's a difference between the mindset of someone who's just pushing themselves into the grave and the mindset of someone who's very purposeful about how they spend their time. Like, I want you to think about this. When you block your time, this is for all of you with weight loss. I don't care what you're doing. Your mind, when you're eating or when you're working, should be on that, not on the next thing or what you should be doing or who's suffering or all these other things. Like, think about, purposeful means I schedule my time and my mind around it. And when my brain wants to go to doing something else it's not supposed to be doing in that moment, bring it back. Just like, if I'm supposed to be sleeping, I need to be sleeping like a peak performer. If I'm eating, I need to be eating like a peak performer, which means if I'm eating right then, I'm not thinking about what I should be doing in work. You know, I'm always directing my brain to be in this moment, be in this moment. Okay.
Okay.
That's a good one. You. What are you coming to Nashville for? What convention?
It's called the Association of College Personnel Administrators. There's a bunch of people who study college students, work with college students, and we're getting together for 4 days to talk about college students.
All right. Well, y'all have fun. Yeah. You're coming to the right city.
Yes, I'm excited.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. All righty.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's see. Okay. I hope that was helpful for you guys. Let's see. Jane B. Hey, lady.
Hi.
All right. What are we coaching on today?
Anger.
Yes.
Oh, good.
You know, I'm a recovering angry bitch.
I didn't. But then the other day, I saw a coaching call that you did, and you just mentioned it so casually, and I thought, what?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Just ask the team. We had a two-day team meeting yesterday morning. I don't even remember what we were talking about. But, like, I always call it, like, my Hulk mode. Something will strike me, and then all of a sudden, I'm just in anger, and I'm like, damn, I still got my talent.
Oh, my God.
Well, tell me about your anger.
Yeah. So, I come – just a little background. I don't want to stew in it, but just to give some context. I come from a fairly angry family, and I've spent, like, 30 years trying to not be that person because it's just so unpleasant to just be like triggered and just jump into the rage really, really quickly. And what I'm realizing as I'm working through PNP is, okay, so that was what a lot of the food was about, was just like smoothing things out. And now that I'm not eating, it's like, whoa, maybe I could go shopping. Like, okay, well, you can't do that. And it's like, well, maybe I could just have a drink. And it's like, okay, Jane, for fuck's sake, you gotta like deal with this.
Okay.
And
so
and
what
now,
are you angry about?
Oh God. Everything. Like I don't know. It's like I just go off. I don't even know.
Well, tell me about something recent where you just like got angry.
Okay. Well, I've been traveling for work quite a bit in the last few months. And it's fun. I'm really enjoying it. But I was in Italy last week, in northern Italy, where there's this big coronavirus outbreak.
Yeah.
And I've been doing a lot for the company. I'm happy to be doing it. But, you know, it means a lot of time away from my family.
Okay.
And in this one instance, I wrote to my manager, I sent him a text and I said, listen, it's getting kind of serious over here. Like they're doing a lot of travel restrictions and I think I'm going to move my trip up about a day just so that I can get home because I'm really kind of concerned that if I don't come back, I might be stuck here for like, I don't know, like another month or something. I don't know what the quarantine situation is going to be. And he basically said like, well, are you done with your trip? And are you done with what I told you needed to do? And I said, no, but like I can create the parameters for success remotely.
Okay.
But I got so furious that like after giving this much to the company that it's like really 24 hours means that much to you. Like
created a big story around a sentence.
Yeah.
So the sentence was what? He said, are you done with your work?
No, he said, I'm frustrated because we're not done yet.
Okay. So I'm frustrated. We're not done yet.
Yeah.
You're like, really?
Yeah.
I've given 24, what was it, 24 years? Is that what you said? Or?
Oh, no, I've been traveling a lot for the company. Do you mean like I've been working on this for
you just
years?
Said something like, really, I've given something.
Oh, I've given so much to the company. You
I've
can't,
given so you much to the
hours.
Company. To leave 24 hours. Okay. So this makes us angry. Yeah. And what did you do or not do?
Oh God. I went back to my hotel room. I sent him a terse email because it was the only way I could talk to him without crying.
Terse email. Okay. What else?
I basically cried and then called my family and just bitched and complained and had a bit of a tantrum.
Cried, bitched, tantrumed.
Not proud of this. God, this is embarrassing. But it's
no, don't be embarrassed. We just want to see what happened. Like, don't like. So here's a model. Now you have a thought of, oh my God, this is embarrassing. It's like, this is just what happened. And so you want to, when you see, like, what's funny is the reason why you're embarrassed is because as you watch this model, you're kind of like, okay, I can kind of see
how I want to live.
Where I might be able to start changing my thinking around some of the things that are that are happening. Yeah. That's the beauty of the model. It's not to judge this, but it's to make it super clear. Like, wow, he was frustrated that we're not done with the project, and I made it mean that he's shitting over how much I've given to this company.
Yeah.
Which and it's like, were you kind of frustrated that you weren't able to finish up in Italy because of coronavirus?
Yeah, I was.
So y'all had something in common. You both are basically just like, this sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes, so like, what do you think the result is?
Thirsty,
well, emailed, cried, bitched, and tantrumed.
Well, basically landed me about a week of anxiety before I had to face him and we had to have an adult conversation about what happened. I mean, it was fine, but it's like, what did I do that to my week for?
Because you have a habit brain. Because you're learning to become someone who's not going to be reacting this way anymore. And the only way I'm showing you right now.
Okay.
Like, guys, it's just like the last person. You are not going to be someone who has practiced going from 0 to 60 in anger or 0 to 60 in overeating or 0 to 60 with a binge or 0 to 60 with anxiety overnight. Everybody's got to be like, oh, how do we even do this? And why we got it? Like, y'all got like step one, quit being a fucking baby about having to change how you think.
Okay.
Because this is what happens. If we got to like, we can't work on this model until we work on the model of, I really don't like how I think.
Oh God. Yeah.
What if we just decide this is how I think and I'm working on it rather than I really don't like how I'm thinking.
Okay.
I mean, I really want you to hear me when I say that.
No, I really do.
It serves none of you any purpose to sit around in a model. It's like, so I wish I had a longer whiteboard. Pretend there's one over here. There is a model that's sitting here, but well, here, let's do it. Can y'all even see? Hang on, let me do this. Glad I didn't wear my pajama pants since I'm going to stand up. So like, think of this as a model. And then here's you. And we'll even give you really cute short hair.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah, because you have short hair like me. All right, so this is you. And you're going to be looking down on this model.
Okay.
Okay? We have two ways we can look at it. This is how my brain works. And I'm working on it. I'm the worst writer. I really need a scribe. Or we can look down on this model and be like, oh my God, I'm fucked up. And wish this away.
Yeah.
You have an unintentional and an intentional model about this model. If you are in this land, which is, oh my God, I'm fucked up and I wish this away, no matter what I tell you about this one, will never work. No matter if you come up with intentional models for this one, it won't work because you're still judging your old model. You're spending time and judging the old one, which creates even more belief in it.
Yeah.
Because you've convinced yourself you're fucked up. So to be fucked up, guess what we got to have? Fucked up models running all the time.
Okay.
That's why for all of you, I watch you guys, y'all say this to me all the time. It's like, Corinne, I keep coming up with these intentional models. They sound so good. And I'm like ready to go get it and blah, blah, blah. They never stick. How long is this going to take? It's like forever at your rate, because if you keep believing you're fucked up, you got to have a fucked up model running. Yeah. But if we're working on it, when this one happens, we know that this is just thoughts that we're having. So what would we want to be having in the future?
I guess I could have the same thoughts crop up, because they probably will out of habit brain, but then add, but I'm choosing to think differently about this now, or I don't think that way anymore.
Or it's good to know that, like, when your boss sends you an email, like you're texting back and forth and this thought pops in, like, really, this sucks. Like, I'm sitting here like angry and stuff, and you'd be like, if I'm angry, it's because I'm thinking something about what's happening right now. Anger is one of my things. I know. And if I don't want to be an angry person, I need to understand, why am I angry right now? What sentences are going through my brain right now that are causing my anger in this moment? And so for you, you could just be sitting there like, well, all right, my boss sent me a text. I'm fucking pissed. I've been given my blood, sweat, and tears for all this time, and this is the best I get. And you'll hear yourself say it rather than what you did was believe yourself. Okay. Like, he shouldn't have said that shit, rather than thinking like, I'm thinking that I've given so much to this company, so that's why I'm angry. So yeah. If I just want to like really look at what just happened, my boss is frustrated because the project's not going to get done. Is he allowed to be frustrated? Well, yeah, this is not about me. He's thinking about the project.
Right.
And I'm frustrated that I'm even having to reach out because it's coronavirus time.
Yeah.
So we have something in common now. I don't need to be mad at him. I can be frustrated about the coronavirus until I don't want to be frustrated about it anymore. But I also can be working on how the hell I'm getting out of Italy without making sure that I have to have a reprimand talk when I get back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But do you see where, like, in this, when we're watching that model, we take ownership of how we're thinking rather than saying, I just need to figure out how to not be angry anymore. Can you just, like, teach me a whole, like, drop a new brain in me?
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to reconstruct, you're basically, now you're going to learn that it takes a little time, but you're going to rebuild your brain in the fashion you want it.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I'm scared that I just don't know how to get from where I am to the version of me that I really want to be, but it makes perfect sense. And I think it, like, as long as I'm not thinking like, well, I'm just never going to get there. It's like, okay, maybe I could just get to the point where it's like, I put a pause in place so I can just analyze my thoughts, and then the next step will appear, and then the next step, and the next step.
The first step is actually catching it.
Yeah.
It's like, for you, it's going to be like, all right, it's going to take a little time. I'm going to be patient. I need to catch when this is happening, get really good at noticing it without judging it. Once you get to where you're noticing it, pausing becomes super simple. Most people want to get to the pausing because they think, if I just start pausing, I'm going to fix everything. It's like, no, you're not going to fix it. Sometimes you're going to like sit there and choose to be upset. Sometimes these models are still going to run. What we really want to do is mitigate judging ourselves over it. When you get rid of that part, oh my God, pausing and catching and all that stuff becomes so much simpler. And because you're not judging it, this doesn't feel so bad when it happens. You start having compassion for yourself. Like, oh, I got angry again. What are we going to learn from it? Because we're working on ourselves. I went through this for a while. I still get angry. I blasted at him yesterday. The version of me that went home for sure was like, I need to really work on what happens when I'm actually in the room with them and I like have certain thoughts, and how do I want to start putting a pause when, you know, there's 15 people staring at you. Like for me, there's just all these different times that it's going to happen. Like I've gotten really good at pausing when it's in a text message. Nobody's looking at me. It's much easier now. Used to be like, fuck that. Let me tell you exactly what.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So it's like just understanding, like if your thing is anger and you've got a lifetime of conditioning, just like me, you've got a whole lifetime to work on it.
That's true. That's true. Okay.
Thank you. No judging it. You can tell by your face, you're wanting it to just go away. There is nothing wrong with you.
I'm just terrible. It's like work is one thing. I mean, I was mad enough that I told my husband, we work at the same company. I was like, I'm just going to tell him how I feel. I don't fucking care if I get fired. Fuck them. And it, like, and I meant it, but I'm glad I didn't get fired. But like, I'm more afraid of like losing my daughter's like love or her faith in me as a human. Like she's six. I don't want to ruin it with her. That's the thing I'm more afraid of. Like I don't rage at her, but I definitely have a short fuse and I just want to change for her.
Okay. Then do you know how to do that?
Stop thinking I'm fucked up and work on it.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. You're a normal mom.
Okay. I want to believe you.
Let me just say this. I want you to keep, rather than thinking, I want to believe you, I want you to say, I'm working on believing you.
Okay.
Wanting is very different from working on, and your brain will know the difference. And in the moments when you yell at your kid is the exact moment that you have to say, and I'm still a good mother, and I'm working on this. I'm going to tell you, I like you and I basically could like go and have fucking drinks at this point because we're very much alike. But I have had so much judgment about myself as a mother and like how I show up as a mother and all the things. And the best work I've done this last year is literally the thing that my coach told me is that in any moment, because I've always just felt like I'm not a good mother. Like I just have like repeated this story over and over again. And then as I thought it, I would sit there and I would find all the reasons that I was like, you know, when in this moment you're disinterested and, you know, who yells at a kid with autism and, you know, like all these things. Like I just so much judgment. And she told me, she was like, you know, Corinne, some mothers in this world actually yell at their kids sometimes. And I even believe a lot of them get bored with what their kids are telling them. And like, she was just like, telling me all this stuff. She said, can you just imagine for a moment that in those moments, you're still mothering no matter what, that this is part of mothering. We're not supposed to be perfect. And I will tell you, for about 2 months, I spent every conversation with my child, every moment with my child where I had went from being frustrated and scared and all the things to reminding myself, and this is mothering. And this is mothering. And it has made all the difference. It cut myself some slack to figure out new ways to think. Sometimes we just need to cut ourselves some slack. And you're That's mothering. And sometimes, you know what else you're doing? You're employing.
And wifing.
And wifing and doing all of the thingies. We all are.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Bye. Okay. Let's see. Who's next? I think I'm going to just keep standing. I've never really just stood up in my office. I don't know why I didn't think this was a good idea ever before. All right. Carrie Todd. Y'all always plug in some of the funniest names. I will just tell you, some of y'all are cracking me up. Hello.
Hi.
If you could see this list of names, you would just be dying. I'm just like, interesting folks.
Okay. Holy cow. All right. I'm ready. I'm all set up, but I've never done this. So I'm January.
Yeah.
Well, really, December 29th.
There you go. Well, our latest. You're one of our latest crop.
I am. And you know, Corinne, I have learned so much by these coachings. I kicked myself in the ass today and I said, get your shit together and get on there. And because, I mean, I'm writing notes like a, you know.
Yes.
And so, just so many light bulbs have gone on. And just, I don't know. Putting all the pieces together, mm-hmm. I've only gotten through this, through you, through y'all's, not just you, but I've listened to several of the live coaching. So okay. Anyway.
I'm glad because I will tell you, one of the things I try to teach, I'm glad you said it, not just me. I try to teach you guys is like, listen to the call and plug your bullshit in because it's like, I listen to calls from my mentor. And I don't care what they're talking about. I'm always like, what'd she just say? It's like, oh my God, my weak in the knees.
No, I know exactly. And if I didn't have, if you didn't build in the little rewind thing on the no BS course, I mm-hmm. would be so screwed because I'm like, and the because the mind work, that's why I'm here because
okay.
So I'm like every other story. I'm 50. I'll be 55 this year.
You look good, mama. Jesus Christ. I thought you were more like me. I'm like 45.
Bless you. No. And so I've just had so many years of this mind fuck of, I'm sorry, I'm cussing, of beating, you know.
All right. I think we all have everybody should have to go get a shot of whiskey because somebody actually apologized to me for their cussing. Like, now I'm really weak in the knees.
I know. So, and you know, just the last two callers, I'm thinking, gosh, I can just plug my issue in there because you've said everything. So why am I wasting your time? But I thought, well, I'll just sit here and see if I get called on. So,
okay.
My biggest issue is, just a little background just quickly is, you know, really being on a diet all of my life. I started Weight Watchers at 12. You know, I was promised a mini bike by my father, bless his heart, if I would lose 10 pounds or something. And so just constantly on restrictive eating. I lost 50 pounds about 2 years ago. I hired a nutritionist, great meal planning. I tend to do lower carb, but I'm an exerciser, so I can't really, I've gotten myself sick on doing okay. so much bullshit, no carb keto crap, that I can't even move, you know? So, I mean, I swim 2000 yards 3 days a week most of the time.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of swimming.
I bike. I call myself a townie biker. I go and bike at lunch around the lake, which is about, I don't know, 5 miles.
Yeah, that's cool.
But just so the exercise piece I've got, it's the eating and the thinking. So here I am. I have two jobs. I run a swim school at night, 2 days a week. And I have a full-time job at a nonprofit who provides services to children and adults with developmental disabilities.
Okay.
So we do foster care for DHS custody, kids that are in custody of the state. And then we help support adults to live in their own homes and live and work and play in their own communities.
Okay.
Versus institutionalization. So we're non-institutionalization. We're pro-community. Anyway, aside from that, so I'm busy. I have a child in law school, which she's an adult girl now. And so for my job, I'm an operations manager. This is an example of what I do. I am so good at shutting down restrictive eating. It is in me. I am a cook. I plan my meals and go to the store and I reach for all my ingredients and there's no reaching for little Debbie's. I haven't done that in probably 20 years. There's no reaching for anything like that. And so, man, I mean, I clamp down on it. Like when okay. I start something, I'm in it. So my issue is I don't know how to shut down the restrictive eating. And here's an example. I had to plan a party at the office the other day, went and got the cupcakes, wasn't even hungry. I mean, that shit's out. I mean, in my mind. And so I'm like, I had to touch them, wasn't attracted to them, nothing, because I have this internal thing that I do that I've mastered. Right.
What's that?
So
what's the internal thing? Okay.
Shutting that down.
What is your thought?
My thought is don't even think about it, Carrie. You can't, you're not having one of those. You're not hungry for one of those. Those aren't good. I mean, they were gourmet cupcakes, so they were the good ones. And so,
what's the problem, though?
I don't even know what I'm doing it. So, wait, what'd you say?
But you assume this is restrictive eating.
Well, wait. Okay, wait. So then I set it out, you know, the pizza was there. I wouldn't even gross out on pizza for sure. I didn't want that. But everyone was doing their thing and we got done. And my boss hands me half of his cupcake and goes, mm-hmm. Do you want this? And I was like, oh shit. I was so good until that moment. And then.
Do you eat it?
I did. And you know why? Do you know why? Here's why I did.
I'm curious.
Because I wanted to eat. Okay. So I ate the half a cupcake. Enjoyed the shit out of it. And then I started beating myself up for not putting it on my plan.
So you didn't enjoy it.
I did enjoy it.
No, that's the thought you have about the experience of the cupcake. Here's how we know you really enjoy it. True enjoyment doesn't require a beatdown afterward.
Well, but I only beat myself up for not putting on the plan. After that, I was
No. Wow. That's do not tell yourself lies. The only reason why I didn't, reason why I beat myself up was because I didn't put on plan. No, the reason why you beat yourself up is because you allowed yourself to beat yourself up. Whether it was on the plan or not had nothing to do with a verbal beatdown. It's a choice.
True.
I can eat off plan and not kick the shit out of myself.
Well, but here's the good news of it all. Here's the good news is okay. I didn't sit there. I had no other thought. I'm like, man, this was good. Okay, done. And yeah, I wanted more, but I didn't. I just sat there and I sat through that and didn't get up and go get a whole one. But I didn't have guilt because I'm like, Carrie, it's half a cupcake. You know?
No, you did have guilt if you beat yourself up.
Well, for not putting on my plan.
That's still part of the guilt process.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so we're going to have half a cupcake offered to us by the boss. All right, let's do this. Yeah, half cupcake offered by the boss. I'm going to figure out this model because I'm not 100% sure how I want to do it, so I may start it over. Then we have ate the cupcake. Why?
What was your thinking? Baby toddler brain wanted it.
Right, but I need to know what your baby toddler brain actually said to get there. What is it about your primal brain that made this be like, well, that'll be okay? Like, what was it?
Trying to change my thinking my brain went, you should have built this into the plan. You planned the damn party. You should have planned this.
So it was very punitive. So, yes. You should have planned for this.
Right.
Right. Was that the before or the afterthought?
Oh, the after for sure.
Right. So that's why I want to make sure we get really nuanced with you because you're mixing your models.
Okay.
So you had a beatdown model where you should have planned it was here.
Right.
That was the next one. That's where the circumstances ate the cupcake. So we have ate the cupcake. You should have. You felt guilty. And then your action was what? After you felt guilty, beat self up more?
No. I just moved through the moment and did something else. I mean, like went back to work. I mean,
So we didn't process guilt. Nope, we just avoided guilt. We swept it all under the rug and pretended that it wasn't a problem.
Yeah, and hoping it won't show up on the scale. Yeah, I did think
that. Oh, so we did beat ourselves up. So we go to the, like, let's pray this doesn't fuck the scale up.
And then, okay, all right, I got you. And then, ooh, I got like 5 days to get this out of my system.
Right, like,
what can
daydream
I
about how we can,
water.
Like, punish ourselves to get that scale tonight, like...
Yep.
This is why we do models. So with I just moved on and started working. Like, no, you didn't. You sat there for probably days thinking about a half a cupcake and wondered if it was going to impact you.
Yeah.
And then we do a lot of should have never been things that we want to be doing, right?
That's right.
So that's the after model. But we want to figure out, why'd you eat a half a cupcake when it wasn't planned? Because I don't think you have a restriction problem. I think you have a conversation problem going on, which all of us do. I don't know why. You have a conversation. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay. So your problem isn't restriction. Your problem is the conversations to which you have around food.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So this is really significant for all of you, because I just coached someone in one of the other groups yesterday on the restriction. Restriction is just a feeling that's driven from a thought. Like, restriction is not a problem. All it is a feeling. So like right now, I am restricted from going and getting water because I'm on a call. I'm not sitting around going like, oh my God, I've got this like restrictive ass Zoom stuff I have to do every day. It's really hard to get through. I feel so restricted from my water.
Right.
Nobody ever gets all dramatic about that.
Well, but if restriction, okay, so here's my jacked upness, I guess. I don't know. I go back to what, and just bear with me. I go back to where my anxiety or my stuff comes in as I go back to, all right, Carrie, we're supposed to be planning in. I love nachos. I'm a Texas girl.
Yeah.
I love all that stuff. And so plan it for a Friday night, you know, maybe once a week, blah, blah, blah. I'm supposed to be doing that. But then my old stuff goes, but Carrie, you lost 50 pounds on gold. You've got a notebook of meal plans in there. You need to get your ass back in there. That, you know, that's what works. You don't know this Corinne stuff works. You don't know this yet.
Right. And but so that's not restrictive thinking. You know what that is? Not, no, it's called that? Thoughts.
Okay.
Just plain old boring thoughts.
All right.
Like this is what you guys do. Like, oh my God, I got to freak out. I got some restrictive thoughts and I'm going to have to do all this stuff. And I like, this is you up here. You're down here. So we're going to just not even worry about this cupcake. We're going to talk about the concept of restriction for you. Right.
Okay. Yes.
So here's you.
Yeah.
Here's one thing. So here's a cupcake. Or no, here's you. Restriction. You have a terrible definition.
Okay.
You have the definition of, oh my God, it's fucked up if I feel this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And what is that? And when we say, oh my God, it's fucked up if I feel this. Like, I can't be restricted. Like, a lot of you have this, like, working, like, dialogue in your brain about the term restriction. All restriction means is I'm either having this or I'm not. I mean, every single 24-hour plan is restrictive as fuck. You know why? If I plug nachos on there and I want to eat a Big Mac, I'm restricted from the Big Mac. I planned nachos. Nobody ever says that. Nobody ever comes on a call and says, you know, I felt so restricted the other night when I was eating. I had planned to eat a sheet cake and, you know, ice cream and donuts came in and I was so restricted because all I could have was my sheet cake. Nobody freaks out about that restriction. Everybody's just like, oh. And y'all would think I was drunk if I told you that. Right?
Yeah.
But if we have on the plan our healthy meal or no cupcake and our boss gives you a half eight in one, it's like, well, I'm really fucked up. You know, that just, if I couldn't have that cupcake, that's part of that restriction thing. I should have been planning for a half a cupcake eaten by somebody else. You'd be on to yourself. Problem is not, like, I want you to think about this. Oh my God, it's fucked up if I feel this. What is your feeling? Like, when you think that, like, if restriction. Oh my God, it's fucked up if I feel it. Most of you are going to feel antsy, nervous, anxious.
Antsy, confused. Oh yeah, for sure.
We'll do antsy.
Overwhelmed. Yeah.
Overwhelmed, anxious. Everybody's got like their cocktail of feelings that go along with it.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then what is the action? If I feel restriction, Mm-hmm. And I start thinking, oh my God, it's fucked up. I'm restricted. This is a bad thing. I can't feel restriction because every time I've ever done restriction, all it's done is lead me down that mentality road. And I just start binging and mm-hmm. that's y'all's thoughts. Mm-hmm. We get anxious. Mm-hmm. The action is we either break or make up Franken rules. And then we result is we fuck ourselves up.
Yep.
It was never this was the problem. It was never what was on the plan was the problem. It was never feeling restricted was the problem. The problem is always when you feel restricted, ask yourself why. What am I thinking right now that's allowing me to feel restricted? Mm-hmm. It like in your case, when the boss offered you half a cupcake, your mm-hmm. brain went to, I should have planned this.
Yep.
Rather than, oh, I didn't plan for it. It mm-hmm. might not be fun not to have it. It's okay.
Yep.
That's not restriction. That's just... You were good even after that. Like, let's not define who we are.
I know.
I was so good up until that point. That's called a judgment. That's you looking mm-hmm. down. Oh, my God. I'm so fucked up like this. I was so good to that half a cupcake.
Right.
It's yep. like, no, you had a human experience. You ate a half a cupcake. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. And then I go into, well, Carrie, look, this is why you've only lost like 4.5 pounds so far. This is it. You keep doing shit like this. And
the only thing I would change there is to be like, I've lost 4.5 pounds because of these actions and behaviors. If I need it to be more, which ones of these need to change? And if I'm like actually right on track, then nothing needs to change, whatever it is. But you get it boring and binary. Every moment where the judgment comes in, like, oh my God, I'm so fucked up. Oh my God, like I'm watching a model. Oh my God, I'm so screwed up because of my restriction. Oh my God, I've only lost 4.5 pounds. That's a model that you're judging. You're not in, mm-hmm. this is how my brain works. It's good to know. These are the things mm-hmm. I can start working on.
Yeah.
Like the hardest part for all of you is making weight loss boring. And I don't mean with the food. With how you allow your brain to describe all of it. Anytime you feel judged and restricted and worked up, shamed, or antsy, you need to drop into saying, all right, what am I thinking right now that's causing this? That's mm-hmm. all that's happening. I don't need what to freak out about any of these feelings.
Okay.
What am I thinking? And then look at them. Because when you do that, when you do this, I hope this isn't too much for all of you. I feel like I'm moving mega fast today. But when you ask yourself, I'm running out of whiteboard space. When I'm feeling, let me get another color marker. When I'm feeling antsy, overwhelmed, anxious, whatever it is, and you ask yourself, what am I thinking right now causing these feelings? This model up here is the important one. So if you're looking down on your model in that moment and you're like, well, I'm thinking, oh my God, it's fucked up. I feel this way. You have to immediately my brain works and I'm working on it. Like, this is just what I'm thinking right now. Or you'll be like, oh my God, it's fucked up. If I feel restricted, and if you go to, and I'm also fucked up because I'm the kind of person who thinks this shit, like who thinks this shit? You'll drop right into that circular, no traction, not going to help you lose weight model. It's the hardest part of weight loss is literally just listening to what you think and questioning it without judgment. I promise you guys, if you take the accountability course this month where I talk about self-judgment, it will help you so much.
Yeah.
Yep. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to never call yourself a fucked up dieter, someone who has a terrible relationship with restriction. It all started back in my past. I don't want you doing any of that stuff.
Okay.
That's all judgment. I just want you to say, like, I have a diet history and I'm rewriting it to the one I want. That's it.
That's good.
It's just boring.
That's really good. That's fresh.
Yeah. But it's because, like, the way you talk about it, it goes back to your past and lives in it.
Yes.
Whereas what I'm having you do is think about, who do you want to be? Let's just, like, not get so focused on who we've been and judge that. Let's get focused on, who do we want to be, and really get focused on it every single time we want to go back to thinking like the old person's like, that's all right. I understand. I go back there a lot, but who do I want to be in this moment? When somebody offers me a half-eaten cupcake, who do I want to be in that moment? When I eat the half-eaten cupcake, who do I want to be in that moment? Do I want to be someone who worries about the scale and all the things and then starts manipulating how we're going to get there? Or I'm like, you know what? No, I want to be the kind of person who really understands why the half a cupcake, like why it happened in the first place. So I can better prepare for the next time. It won't be the last time something's offered to me.
That's right. That's right. Well, you just have more power over it if you can do what you're saying and slow down and think through who you're trying to be versus or what you're working to be versus who you were. So it gets you out of that. It gets you out of that past real quick.
And the beauty of what you just said is the more you do that work away from cupcakes and away from all that stuff where you're like just working on it. Like, you know, when I do a lot of this work on the weekends, like I get up extra early in the morning. My Saturday and Sunday mornings are a lot of self-development work. Like I get up at still at 5 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday, and I spend about 2 hours working on my relationship with myself and the relationships with my work this week and, you know, just all the different things. I worked on my relationship with my mother this morning. I do a lot of relationships work, like who I want to be and stuff. Then throughout the week, when those moments are happening, when I'm really dialed into who I want to be, in the moments when I'm not showing up as to who I want to be, it becomes really clear.
Yeah.
It's not just happening all the time. It doesn't mean I get it perfect. It just means I know a lot sooner when I'm out of integrity with who I'm planning to be in the world.
Yeah,
so
that's
I can get back to integrity real fast, or I can figure out how I got out of integrity and then figure out, so the next time this happens, how would I want to be showing up? Like there's just, you don't need to beat yourself up for any of it. You just need to be like, this is who I want to be. It's going to take work to get there.
This is who I want to be. Well, and finding the threshold of where that is when you join the program, you do all, you know, I'm about on module 12 of the No BS, where you talk about the brain work. I love that. And I sit there and I replay it so I can get it all, because I can't, there's no way I could listen to it one time and get it all. But anyway, going through everything and then like putting it all together, like I was saying, there's that threshold to me of, okay, Carrie, plan realistically. Are you planning to lose some weight? Are you planning to, I don't know. It's getting that sweet spot of making all of this work. And, I actually planned nachos in, I don't think the last time I lost, cause I'll lose a little bit and then I sit there. I haven't gained anything, but the scale just sits there. It didn't ruin anything is what I'm saying. When I had, and I ate to my 2 to 2, it didn't do anything. But I also know that had I been hungry for those nachos, you know, you have that taste and I hadn't planned on it. Those nachos are going to show up in the week unplanned somewhere. That cupcake, that half cupcake, it was going to show up again. And that's what I've learned with this. If you don't go ahead and plan for your stuff that you really, really want, not every day, not even every week, but when you want it, it's going to show back up.
Yeah.
It's going to show right back up.
Yeah. And what happens is when you plan for that stuff, you start building a relationship of what you truly want with food. Like you're going to, like, there's a difference between, I want you to think about the difference between having nachos that you plan and look forward to, and having a half-eaten cupcake that you didn't plan, and then you felt guilty, and then you had to do all this other stuff. Like, you always want to be thinking about the relationship with food that you're creating.
So you're working on that all the time.
all the time.
It's not like, ooh, I get that mastered, so ooh, I can go to this, because I'm like a step-by-step-by-step person. Well, everybody is, I'm sure. And so I keep thinking, okay, where's it all going to come together? And I get these moments, these light bulb moments of, oh my God, I got it. And then, yeah, and then I don't.
Yeah, and it's, but so, here's the thing. It's not that you don't have it. This is the way I always think about it, because I mean, y'all, I've been at it 15 years and I'm still unraveling my relationship with food all the time.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
It's never that it's like, I thought I had it and I don't. It's like, oh, it's the next thing to learn.
Okay. Yeah.
That's it. I mean, we're either learning or succeeding.
Well, right.
But what a lot of you think of it as is like, it's not I'm learning or succeeding. It's I'm succeeding or I'm failing. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a dog over a fire hydrant. That's just, and I'm thirsty as hell and I'm just trying to get as much as I can. And it's just, yeah.
Just listen and listen and listen and have no expectation that everything you hear, like, here's the thing. You don't need to hear all of it and you don't need to implement all of it to get great results. You need to hear it and be like one thing, be like, oh my God, what did she just say? I'm going to do that. And then you just get really good at that, because for some of you, there'll be things that I say and suggest. It's either not your problem, you're not ready to work on that yet, or it's not going to work for you. Yeah. And then there's going to be some things that I say that's going to make a huge difference whether you do the other stuff or not. It's not about doing every single thing. It's about applying, applying, applying. And you eventually have your unique fit of the stuff.
That makes a lot of sense. Yep.
Yeah. That's why, like, some people, like, will start and they never quit eating pizza. Like, they're, if you look at their week, somebody will say, and you lost, like, 50 pounds eating that? Like, yeah. But because their hunger scale is, like, so dialed and they hate vegetables and they hate fruit, they had to figure out how to make it work. And so they did.
Within their parameters, right.
And then there'll be some people who run buttermilk diarrhea every time they eat a piece of bread and had to figure out that, like, I think I'm going to have to learn how to not be a bread eater.
Yeah.
Because I don't like shitting my pants. And they had to go through feeling restricted, feeling like it was unfair. They had to go through reestablishing the relationship with food and their body to get to the other side where they're like, you know what? It took me a while, but I really realized feeling good every day was way more important than what I tasted. Like, but it took them a while. And some people never have to give up some stuff. But it just, like, everybody's very unique. And nobody gets there all the same.
Well, I think so many of the things that you've said have been aha moments. But I think one of the biggest ones was, and you've said this when I was doing the free, I mean, you say it everywhere. You say, if you have to do whatever it is, your job, your work, your exercise, if you feel like you need relief from that, you need to take another look at what you're doing. You shouldn't have to eat in a way and such on Friday and Saturday that you need relief.
It's going to go back to the thinking driving those choices.
Yeah, that's huge.
Every single time. Like, why am I making these choices? What is it that I'm thinking and feeling that drives me to make these choices? Because if by the end of the week, I got to get away from it, there's something I'm thinking and feeling all week long that's making me crave relief.
Yeah. Yes. And I've lived just like that. It's my past, but that's how I've dieted all of my life. And it's so different. What you are teaching us, it's so very different. So yeah, it's hard. It's hard. It's not, it is not, oh, here's my plan. Okay. Go get the stuff and do it. No. That's easy to me. I'm so regimented. I love regimen. And that piece is, I've got really, but it's the thinking that is so, it's very difficult. It's good. Not undoable for sure. It's just making yourself work on yourself, which is hard.
Yeah. It
so
takes
thank
time.
You so much.
You're welcome. All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
That was a good call. Let's see. Let's do one more and then we will get out of here. All right, there's, let's see. What is that name? Lauren Killian? Let's do you. Somebody said, so how do you move from hustler to peak performer? Mindset. I'm so tired of the hustle at work and dieting. It's like hustle mindset there's a hustle mindset, there's a peak performer mindset. So like make a little, let me erase some of my board. Make a list of when I'm in hustle mode, I'm doing these things. And then, so let me just draw this out and then we'll get to you. Okay.
Okay.
This won't take me long. All right. So do the actions of a hustler. So we're going to have like hustle up here, right? I know y'all can't really see that, but pretend you can. You're going to have the actions. And then when I'm doing these things, it's because I'm feeling what? You get one word in that column. And then you are going to do think over here. So you're going to have a piece of paper and you're going to basically, it's like when I'm hustling, it's I'm doing all of these types of things and I'm feeling what and I'm thinking. What this shows you is a hustler thinks and feels and does it this way. Then you're going to do the same thing with a peak performer. So a peak performer take these actions and then go to, in order to get that done, a peak performer would be feeling and thinking what? Hustlers. And then if you need to add something to your list or take off, you can over here. So like hustlers never take a break. Peak performers build in rest. Like think about those things. So you just kind of manipulate the list. But very often a hustler and a peak performer, they do very similar actions with some nuances, but they think and feel very differently to get there. Okay. And now we're on to you, Lauren. What can I help you with?
Well, first of all, I'm nervous. Kathy helped me saying, you know, you might as well get coached by the queen. So here I am.
I love how I called on you. You're nervous. And I'm like, and now just sit on camera and let me talk.
Yes. It was my 30th birthday on Tuesday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. I planned the Saturday beforehand with my friend's night out. I ended up having six drinks on plan, having some fries, having my tacos and all that type of stuff. And then after Saturday, I didn't plan for 5 days.
Okay. So your birthday was on Tuesday and then you had your birthday meal on Saturday or Friday?
It's the Saturday before. And then I ended up not planning through Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday was the first day I planned.
Okay. So we had our birthday dinner, right? Mm-hmm. Birthday meal. Did you have a good time?
I did.
Wonderful. All right. So we had a birthday meal and then we stopped planning for 5 days.
Yep.
Okay. Tell me your thoughts about this birthday meal after you had it and you were done thinking it was fun.
I had a great time and, you know, I did a really good job on my birthday meal. I didn't overeat.
Yeah, but that's not why we quit planning. Why did we quit planning though?
We quit planning because honestly, it was more so I don't want to.
But why? Why not? What's so hard? I mean, what's so awful about planning? Don't tell me it's not awful because you'd be, if it was fun, if it was like amazing, you'd be like, oh my God, what do you mean? I plan all the time. It's the most fun part of my day.
I think my day would get away from me. And by the time I would think about doing it, because I typically plan at night, I just went to bed and didn't
care. Why though? But this is the thing. Planning is not amazing to you.
No.
So we had a birthday meal and we decided to say, fuck this planning shit, man. And here's why. Because.
Why do I need it?
Well, tell me. So I don't need it is one reason. Let's just come. Let's do this.
Okay.
Let's come up with your story about planning.
Okay.
And then it'll be real clear why you're not doing it. Because let me tell you, do you have any idea what my story about planning is?
No. Mine is the fact that you do it every day.
It's the most relaxing part of my day.
See, I get stressed out from it.
All right. So planning stresses me out. Planning stresses me out.
But it's stressing.
But okay, so this is the model we need to be working on. So we have making a plan up here. Mm-hmm. And your feeling is stressed.
Yep.
So you have thoughts that stress you out about making a plan. It's not the plan stressing you out. Here's how we know. You and I are going to go to a coffee shop and we're going to sit at different tables. And you're going to sit there and feel terrible and judged and like you have to do it and have a very punitive inner conversation about getting it done. And I'm going to sit there and wonder if I can stay an extra hour because I love it. And I'm sitting there thinking like, yeah, I get time to myself. This is how I make time for me. This is how I stay thin. This is like, I think of a thousand things that I love about, like, I'm going to uncover the very things I need to be working on. This is how I solve the problems of my life. Like, my thoughts are luxurious around planning. Your thoughts are stressful around planning. That's how we know a plan can't do something to us.
Yeah.
So, what are our stressful thoughts?
It's taking too long. Why am I wasting my time on this? And that one's stupid.
So, I'm wasting my time on this. No, it's all right. So, here we are. I'm fucked up this way. We're not going to judge our model. We're just going to have our model.
In the sense that I've lost weight with it. I mean, last year I lost 34 pounds just with the basics.
But here's what I want you to do. I want you to quit arguing with me on why you should call yourself stupid for your thoughts about your planning. You're not stupid. You know what? You're this guy. Look, you even have short hair too. So everybody fits, and you actually have purple. You're literally our little person up here. This is how my brain works, and I'm working on it when it comes to making a plan. It's so stupid, and I even lost weight, and blah, 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 about making a plan. Do you see the difference in the energy? So no more judging. I'm trying to be nice to you. You know, you're all nervous and stuff, so don't make mama, like, work so hard. All right.
Okay, sorry.
Thoughts about making a plan. It's a waste of my time. What
waste
else?
Waste of my time. I'm just starting to get to the point where I'm giving myself options because I notice sometimes when I would not give myself options, I'd be like, well, fuck, I can't, I'm either going to eat off plan or I'm not going to eat what I had. So giving myself options opened me up on one of your coaching calls in the past. So I was like, I can have options. Okay. That's within the past few days has given me a little less stress.
That's not what's giving you less stress.
My thoughts about it is giving you
your thoughts about the options has given you less stress. So it's still like when you're making a plan, what actually lowered your stress was not the options. Your thought was giving myself options feels better.
Okay.
Rather than thinking, oh my God, I'm just going to do what I say I'm going to do. It's all about our thinking, right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
So I want to really drive this home because I can always tell when you guys really have to I call it being on to yourself. A lot of you do this with the model. Have you listened to phase two of the No BS yet? Okay.
Yes. I've listened to it, all of it.
Listen to it a couple times. Phase two, sometimes y'all need to listen to it like four times before you really kind of understand this connection. Okay. Nothing we do makes us feel a certain way. We don't do things because of a circumstance. We don't feel things because of a circumstance. So, like, nothing's ever happening in the model. Like, this looks like I wouldn't have said this if she hadn't have done that.
Okay.
I wouldn't feel this way if they hadn't have said that. I wouldn't feel this way if I wasn't planning.
Okay.
Like, that's the problem. That's called blaming. And it's not to be judgmental, but it's where we take our actions and our feelings and we blame circumstances rather than remembering. It's like, no, If I'm doing something or feeling something, it's always because I'm thinking something about a circumstance. So if I feel stressed, okay, it's because I'm thinking something about making a plan. If I quit planning, it's because I'm thinking something about making a plan.
Okay.
So like, if you're thinking it's a waste of time, then of course you will not want to do it. That is not a thought that drives you to want to do it. So like, if you think it's a waste of time, but I know that's just something I think sometimes, you're not going to feel stressed. You're going to feel aware.
Okay.
And if you feel aware, then in the action, you'll probably still make a plan.
Yeah.
Until you learn to like it.
It's going to take some time, huh?
Yeah. Anything that you have a lot of story around, like, you need to uncover all the thoughts. Like, I want you to tell me. So we only have uncovered one. It's a waste of time. What else stresses you? I have a guess. One of the things that stresses you is that you're judging what you're putting on your plan. Like, I don't know if this is going to help me lose weight. This isn't good enough. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. Pizza's been on the plan. And I'm like, well, but I am losing weight, but it's pizza.
Right.
So you're every day. I'm like, so yeah, but
this
I like
is
cake.
Why we're stressed, because here's what we're doing. We're saying, basically,
this isn't good enough.
Making a plan that has pizza, food you like. Let's just put on there food you like, right? All right. It's stressful because when you see the food you like, you go to the should punitive thoughts.
Yeah.
And those are the things that are stressing you out. And of course, if every time you make a plan, especially one that mirrors how you would like to be eating, to see if you can lose weight eating that way and build a relationship with the food and hone in on your hunger scale and stuff, if you're going to be thinking very punitively about it, yeah, you stress yourself out. What's the solve? Well, don't make a plan so we don't have to feel so stressed.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Rather than the solve being like, oh, maybe I should have less punitive thoughts and work on that part. Don't quit planning, because that can probably help me. So every time I plan, I need to anticipate, I will think shitty thoughts and I need to like listen to them, not judge them, and decide, is that something I really want to believe? Is that something I really want to keep like thinking on rotation without even questioning?
Yeah.
Right. So when you do that, so that's the beautiful thing about, if you will make yourself plan, and then every time you feel bad, and that square in the planner where you know, the blue box on the right-hand side?
Yep. Yep.
But you were right. Like, today, how I feel about my planning is, and then you write about why, and you look at all those thoughts and you say like, okay, is there anything else that could be true? What do I want to be thinking about my plan today? Like, I know on default, I think, there's no way in hell you're going to be able to eat this stuff and lose weight.
Yeah.
But if I could choose any thought to believe, it would be like, I'm going to see if this is one way that I can lose weight. It's a way different way to think about it. It's less stressful.
Yeah, no shit. Okay. So that helps a lot. Because honestly, I'd never put two and two of, I guess, I mean, in the back of my head, the should-ups were there, but I never really, like, I didn't feel, like, terrible about it, so I didn't think that they were, like, really that forefront, but I think that I didn't plan for five fucking days, so, you know.
Well, this is one of the things. Well, this is one of the things. Here's how you know when you have unintentional thoughts, when you have some thinking that's awry, that's, like, what I call just, like, throw in, you know, something in the engine that's going to make it knock and all this other stuff. Your action line, your result line, or your feeling line will be out of whack. They're all indicator lights that something's going on. So for some of us, we don't even know there's a problem until we weigh in and we're like up 5 pounds. Like, we just weren't even paying attention. We're just eating. We've stopped planning so we don't have to feel bad about ourselves. We've, you know, quit listening to the podcast. We don't have to feel bad about ourselves. We stop doing things to not feel bad about ourselves rather than, and then when we notice we've gained 5 pounds, like, well, something's going on. I'm gaining weight. So that's indicator one, right?
Yep.
The next line is the action line. And so what a lot of us will notice is that we'll be like, I woke up and like 5 days later, I hadn't made a plan. Something in my thinking and feeling must be off, because I know part of this program is make a plan, listen to my hunger scale, do the things, right? So whenever this line is out of integrity, it is an indicator light. I like to think about like a car and you have a dashboard and lights come on. The first light will always be the result line. You're on E, bitch. Better pull over. Like, that's like E and the flat tire warning. Like, it's all like, you know, you're crashing. You better do something. The action line is like one light comes on. It's like, you know, you're at a quarter of a tank. Like, you probably ought to find a gas station soon. I'm showing you, like, the action line is like, I notice I'm not planning. I'm eating distracted again. I'm doing a few things. Like, you start catching yourself there. It's like, all right, I must be thinking and feeling something to make these things happen. Yeah. The next one is you start feeling certain ways. You notice that when you're planning, that it's stressful. It's like, planning should not be stressful. Like, listening for my hunger shouldn't be stressful. Putting nachos on a plan shouldn't feel guilty.
Yeah.
So if that shouldn't be happening, I must be thinking something about those things. That's the next indicator light that can come on. So, you know, if you notice, the higher up we go, the less damage is being done, right?
Yep.
Then the last indicator light becomes when you study the feeling, actions, and results of yourself so much, you'll know the thoughts that are driving all of it. You'll be getting ready to make a plan, and then your thought will be, why are we wasting our time? And you'll be like, well, that's some bullshit thinking. I'll tell you exactly why we're doing this. Because it's part of the program, and we're learning how to like it. You catch yourself before you even feel bad. You start just hearing your bullshit chatter, and then you send it on its way. And it's like when I talked in the first call. You become the adult in the room to the toddler brain. This is the toddler brain. It's just the brain that doesn't know any better. It literally, your toddler brain, your primitive brain, it does not have your best self in mind at all. It's not supposed to. It's supposed to keep your heart rate going and your lungs and all this other stuff. It ain't got time to emotionally babysit you too. That's what the adult in the room is for, the conscious brain. The conscious brain comes in and takes care of all of it for us. Okay.
Okay.
You did wonderful.
Thanks.
Well, you did. I'm glad you got coached.
As my cat's like, can I get on your lap now? And I'm like, no.
Are you kidding? I'm surprised one of mine hasn't come in and danced in the background at some point. All right, Lauren, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Now get back to planning.
Will do.
All right.
Already made mine for today. We're good.
There you go. See you later.
See ya.
All right. Okay. Let me see. There was one more question. We'll get out of here. I sometimes feel like I get tired when I'm redirecting. If I've been redirecting for several days in a row, does that mean I'm doing it wrong and resisting the thoughts instead? Or maybe I have the thought something is wrong because I keep thinking this way when I go off plan. Thinking something's wrong when you keep thinking this way is resisting. That's resistance in itself. Nothing goes wrong because these thoughts keep coming back up at all. Just you, like, we all gonna have to agree. Like, I'm gonna tell you, there's never a bottle of wine, there's never a bar I walk by, there's never a plate of nachos that come in, or a long day where my brain doesn't go like, psh, we should have a drink. I should probably just eat something. Like, it's all the time. 15 years, y'all, 15 years. It just is like, that's the way it is. I don't think something's gone wrong and I'm like, oh my God, when is this part going to be over? That resistance, that's why you get tired of redirecting your brain. If you don't care how many times your brain goes to shit and you're just like, not doing that. Or like, of course I think that. Like, I always just tell myself, yeah, you keep thinking it was a long day. You will want wine. It makes sense. Why would you not want to have a glass of wine? It's going to like numb you out and stuff. Like I just tell myself, of course you think that way. But we're not doing it and it doesn't solve anything. And then I just lay there. It's the judgment. You're still judging it. Still judging it if you're going to bed that tired with it. Now, in the beginning, when you're redirecting your brain a lot, guys, yeah, it will feel tiring, but I'd rather you just be tired, but be on the lookout for all the little ways that you are judging it. Like, I have been doing this for 5 years. Why is my brain still thinking this way? Why do you care? You would only care if you think it shouldn't be going that way. You would only care if you think those thoughts can harm you or do something to you. You eventually get to where you hear thoughts and you don't drop to the feeling line. But if you hear thoughts and you moved up to the, oh my God, when is this going to stop? Oh my God, I wish this would go away. Oh my God. Then you're in this model spiraling while forcing yourself to show up the way you want or not. Let's see. Is it normal to want a large quantity of food that's planned and go over plus two? Then I feel satisfied, but then beat myself up. I think it's normal, but it's not helpful. So your unwinding, Beth, is number one, is to ask yourself, why do I want a large quantity of food? Why do I need, like, what are the things I tell myself that's going to be so much better if I overeat versus just eating to my plus two? So uncover those thoughts first. The next thing is ask yourself, am I truly satisfied? So satisfied comes in lots of different ways. Satisfied can come, I'm emotionally satisfied because I ate as much as I wanted and completed the model of the one that I really don't want running. But am I satisfied in my weight loss, in my relationship with food? Because a lot of times we tell ourselves, and we were satisfied. And it's like, not really. You know how we know you're not satisfied? Because eating to satisfaction also means, and what most of you have not put in as part of your working definition, eating to satisfied also means I get to have what I want most in the world, which is to weigh what I've always dreamed I would weigh. Satisfaction is more than just taste and feel in your belly. And allowing yourself to start practicing that belief and allowing yourself to start understanding that is everything. And then the beat yourself up part, that's the third phase. So you need to understand why you want to go over past two. You need to understand what the new definition of satisfied is going to be for you. And then you need to work on the part of you where it's like, no judgment, no judgment. We are not doing this up here anymore. That will come in. If you will take this self-accountability course, watch the first video in particular. I talk all about that process, and that workbook has some stuff in there for you. All right. I am out of breath. That must mean we're done. So, guys, great call. Make sure that if you have not signed up for camp, we have one camp left for this year, July camp, y'all. I think there's only 6 spots left for October, so we are essentially in sellout mode. July is it. If you are going to come and do a 2020 event, then this is the one. Otherwise, you will not have another opportunity. I think our first event next year is not until February or March of 2021. We're still getting our hotel dates finalized, but we're putting together our 2021 schedule, and July will be the only one. And we will not open registrations up until probably closer to October for those. So that's it. Make sure you get signed up. Go to pmptribe.com, go to events, and then come see me. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.